I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time for another Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon netcast. Glad you could join us this week. This is netcast number. Let's see, what number is it? It's 192 is what it is. I have such a hard time with keeping up with the numbers, you know what I mean? But, as usual, that means we are approaching netcast number 200. And that means something. As I said last week, I don't know what yet. But we'll find out, won't we? It will be as big a surprise to me as it is to you. Yes. Okay, let's get into this week's stuff. And I'm going to tell you up front, we got more stuff than we normally have a stick to shake at the stuff. If that makes any sense, and I don't think it does. Which is par for the course, and that's a good thing. At any rate, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon and all the other podcasts and netcasts of the Tech Podcast Network, of which you should avail yourselves. Yes. Okay. We got, like I said, we got so much stuff. This is probably going to be one of the longest netcasts in the continuing series of netcasts for DrBill.tv or Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, whichever you like to use. At any rate, let's get right into it, shall we? First item, Oracle donates open office to the Apache Foundation. Now, this is interesting. Because OpenOffice went, that's kind of my sound effect for it failing. Fail. Okay. Why? Because Oracle, okay, let's back up a few steps. Oracle bought Sun Microsystems. Sun was the sponsor of OpenOffice. So when Oracle bought Sun, they just wanted Sun's technology, mainly Java, probably. And so they bought that, and then somebody said, excuse me, by the way, we got this open source project over here called OpenOffice. And Oracle went, whoopee, we don't care. Let it die. And so it languished, and there were no updates. And besides that, all the open source programmers that diligently worked on OpenOffice went, dude, we're working for the man. We're working for the man. And they got really ticked off. So they took their crayons and they went home. Yes. They founded a whole new organization called the Document Foundation. Why is it that all open source nonprofit organizations have to be boring? The Document Foundation. Oh well. Anyway, they started that and then they formed a whole new product called LibreOffice, Libre meaning free, of course. Yes. And so, LibreOffice became the replacement for OpenOffice in the minds of us who are the open source, you know, arrogant folks that sit out there and go, we like free software, we're not going to pay for it. Yes. You know, I have a little sign at the end of the program that talks about arrogant Linux elitist. It's a t-shirt. Just kidding, guys. Lighten up. Anyway, so the thing is, just a modicum of truth there. The thing is that the Document Foundation started LibreOffice based on the open source code, because that's the whole point of open source, is that it's open. They can take it and run with it. And so they took the code and then they started improving it. So now LibreOffice is actually better than OpenOffice, because OpenOffice has been sitting around going, what? You know? So anyway, Oracle finally decided, dude, this thing's a loser. We're completely losing out the LibreOffice, so let's just give it away. We don't care. So they gave it to the Apache Foundation. Now, the interesting thing about that is that instead of LibreOffice and OpenOffice joining back together into one thing, the Document Foundation said, Apache, that's the wrong, you know, open source designation. That's not using the GPL, the new public license. That's using the Apache license. That's different. We can't go with that. So they're still separate. Yes. Go figure. So anyway, the tried and true real open source folk will stick with LibreOffice, and who knows what's going to happen to OpenOffice. You know? Oh well. All right. Next item. Some are saying that Apple iCloud is the end of Dropbox. Wrong. First of all, Apple iCloud is a Johnny-come-lately to the cloud computing thing that everybody's all excited about. It's Apple trying to get into cloud computing. And yes, they're giving you 5 gig free or whatever it is with iCloud. But if you'll notice the I in front of iCloud, that means iPod, iPad, what other I's are there? Mac computers, all of those I's. Oh, iTunes, that was the other one. So all of those I's, they work with iCloud, but other platforms don't. So, okay, it's a cloud computing storage area for Apple-y type people, of which I are not one yet. Not for lack of wanting a MacBook, but hey, they're expensive. I mean, I can buy like, what, 3 or 4 laptops for what I could get a MacBook Pro. I've never been able to justify that. So I haven't gotten one. But at any rate, so iCloud doesn't run on Windows. It doesn't run on Linux. It doesn't run on anything but Apple. So the whole idea that some people are floating that Dropbox is dead, no. Dropbox does run on Apple and Windows and Linux and your iPhone and the Android phone and all the Android tablets and everything there is in the whole universe. So Dropbox is better. I, by the way, am in a mood. And of course, the best netcasts come out of when I'm the most curmudgeonly, thus the name of the show. So it's going to be a good one, you know what I mean? Ha ha! Now, before we get to the next item, which is rather odd, by the way, so hang in there for that, I will tell you why I'm in such a mood. Because Time Warner's customer service is getting the official Dr. Bill Award for all-time worst service in the universe, perhaps even the multiverse. How cool is that? Worst service ever! Matter of fact, if Failblog was doing a fail, an epic fail, for service, they just have to call up Time Warner. Ha ha! Now you say, Dr. Bill, that's rather harsh. Oh no, not as harsh as I should be. I am actually being kind. Here's why. I, as you know, have been on a quest, to cut the cord, that is the cable cord, right? So I've been looking into technologies like the Roku, by which I can cut said cord. I'm sure Time Warner's probably not thrilled with that, but they don't know my secret deviant plan of doing that, you know what I'm saying? At least I don't think so, unless they have spies. And I wouldn't put it past them. But at any rate, so I got this plan. And I said one of the items in this plan was to get the Roku, which I did, and then get a TiVo box. Well, the thing about the TiVo box is, and I knew this, was that you can watch your TV, your HD TV, official Cosmic Digital TV, off the air. The air is free. And that's good. But you don't get all of the cable channels, you know, that we've grown accustomed to, like USA Network. That's a big one, because, I mean, all the USA shows are cool. And they don't have a network feed that you can tap into yet. Once they do, we're good. At any rate, so I said, okay, let's go with an interim solution here. The interim solution will be that I will hook the TiVo to the cable. Simple, right? No, because Time Warner wants you to use their box, which I had. But I said I would return. And they were like, okay, fine. Now here's the thing. Listen closely. I called them up and I said, guys, how do I proceed? I want to bring your DVR back to you. I want to be able to hook up my TiVo. I understand I need a little card that will slide into the back to activate it. What should I do? And the lady went, let me check with the supervisor. So I said, okay. So I listened to the music. And finally she comes back and says, no problem. All I got to do is fill out a work order. I'll fill out the work order. You bring the DVR to the local Time Warner station where you would pay, you know, which was just down the road. So I said, cool. And we'll give you a card. And I'm like, that's good. That's not bad. They have some confidence in my intelligence that I can slide a card into a slot. Good. So I made an appointment. Then I thought to myself, I said, you know, we're dealing with bureaucracy here. So maybe I should call a second time to confirm that that's what I needed to do. So I thought, okay, I'll do that. So I called up and I said, here's my work order. I'm supposed to go by and pick it up. Can I come by and pick it up? They said, oh, sure, anytime. I said, great. So I take off at lunch from work. I go to the location that we had discussed on the phone. I walk in with my DVR under my arm and they look at me like, what? I said, see, I've got this work order number. We don't need the work order number. We want your telephone number. I said, okay. So I gave them the telephone number. They said, the telephone number has a work order associated with it. I said, yes, that's the other number I have right here in my hand. They said, you want to return your DVR? Yes. And you want a card to plug into your TiVo? I said, yes. They said, we can't do that. I said, why not? It's in the work order. I called twice. They said, oh, no, we have to send somebody out. And it's going to be a while because we're backlogged. I'm like, what? So they look in their little computer and it says, oh, we can come out this Saturday. This was on a Monday. We can come out this Saturday. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'm usually home Saturday doing netcasts anyway. So I said, okay, fine, we'll do that. So I wait and wait and wait. They're supposed to be here from 7:30 until midday, noon. And so I wait, and I wait, and I wait, and I wait, and I wait. 1:30 comes along, and they call up right before they come in and say, oh, we're running late. I'm like, no kidding. I've just blown an entire morning that I could be doing netcast, but I had to be listening to make sure somebody, you know, if they came to the door, would be able to answer the door. So I said, okay, fine. So the guy comes. He can't find the door to the house. He walks all around the house, can't find the door. There's a door right out front. I even called him and said, there's a door right out front. Couldn't find it. When he finally got here and got inside, he looked at my giant HD TV screen and said, do you want HD with your cable? I went, yes. Well then, this cable card ain't gonna help you because you need a box. I'm like, what? I got a TiVo. We plugged the card in. He said, yeah, but you won't get HD channels without the box. I'm like, well then why didn't you bring the box? He said, I can only bring what's on the work order, and the work order said there was a card. I'm like, you people are idiots. No, I don't want HDTV, since I've already had HDTV and I've been paying for HDTV and digital cable. Why would you think I would want HDTV, huh? Blithering idiots. Anyway, So now I have a new appointment. And Monday afternoon, he's supposed to come and bring the multi-card that plugs in the TiVo and the box that will allow me to see HD. If it gets worse, I'll let you know. But so far, the epic fail stands as the worst customer service in the multiverse. So congratulations, Time Warner. You win the Worst Customer Service Award. How's that? Hopefully the thousands of people that are watching this netcast will keep that in mind when they start ordering cable services. Know what I'm saying? There you go. So, that's why I'm in an interesting mood. Just saying. Okay, next item. I said this was going to be a long netcast. Bear with me. Next item. Scientists say that the Mars base is a cosmic ray glitch. How's that for a headline? It all started, here's the story. It all started when this guy went on Google Mars. You know, there's a Google Mars like there's a Google Earth, so you can explore the lunar is the moon, dude. Martian surface, even though you've never actually been there. How cool is that? Isn't technology grand? At any rate, he was mousing around looking at the Martian surface, and he found a base that he called, what did he call it? He called it Biostation Alpha. How cool is that? Biostation Alpha. As a matter of fact, I have here what he actually said. He said, "This is a video of something I discovered on Google Mars quite by accident. I call it Biostation Alpha because I'm just assuming that something lives in it or has lived in it." Yeah. It's very unusual in that it's quite large. It's over 700 feet long and 150 feet wide. I suppose he took his tape measure to it. Or used math, which is cheating. Just saying. Okay. It could be a power station, or it could be a biological containment. It could be a glorified garage. What? Hope it's not a weapon. This is a quote. I'm quoting the dude here. That's why it's in quotes on my blog. Okay. Whoever put it up there had a purpose, I'm sure. I couldn't imagine what the purpose was. I couldn't imagine why anybody would want to live on Mars. Maybe they like red. Anyway, it could be a way station for weary space travelers. It could also belong to NASA. I don't know that they would admit that. I don't know if they could pull off such a project without all the people seeing all the material going up there. I sort of doubt NASA has anything to do with this. I don't know if NASA even knows about this. I kid you not. That's what he said. Okay. Anyway. So the scientists got right on it. They wanted to check out Biostation Alpha. And so they checked it out. And here's what they said. They said that it was a cosmic ray glitch in the film. Yes. I don't believe that. I think that NASA is not about to tell you that the guys with MIB have a secret base and they couldn't flash all of us. So they put out this weird cosmic ray thing to cover it up. And by the way, where is my tinfoil hat? I was going to have a tinfoil hat before I did this netcast, but I forgot. But you can imagine, can't you? Okay, next item. The UN. Now you know the UN. Bunch of knuckleheads at the UN. Don't get me started. Anyway, the UN has declared internet access a basic human right. Got that? Breathing. Air. internet access. Okay. Just think about that for a moment. How many years did we go as the human species without internet access? And we survived. I don't know how, but we did. But now it's a basic human right. So here's my question. Here's my question. Talking about Time Warner and their amazing customer service. If I had my internet through Time Warner, which I don't, I used to, but their customer service was so bad, I cut it off. And I went with DSL. You're saying, yeah, but Dr. Bill, DSL's not as fast. Dude, I've got a 20 megabit download with DSL. I only had 7 with Time Warner cable. Think about it. And it's cheaper. You know, I'm beginning to see a pattern. At any rate, the point is, if I had my broadband connection to the internet through Time Warner and they cut it off, would they be depriving me of my inalienable human rights? According to the UN, they would be. Just saying. So here's what I think we should do. I think that all of humankind should have a 30 megabit symmetrical, that's up and download, to the internet, or we are not getting our human rights the way we should. Yes. I'm just kidding. Anyway. Okay, next item. Next item, Twitter URL shortener tool released. Now, I had a comment on this. I announced this, that Twitter now has its very own URL shortening tool so that you don't have to use Bitly addresses anymore. Because see there, you have to, the long URL that you want to shorten to fit into your tweet. You go to Bitly, you put the long URL in, you click, you get the little bitty short Bitly URL. You plug that into the Twitter. That takes forever, okay? I mean, after a while, you wonder if it's even worth it. So what Twitter did is they came up with a way to just, you put your URL in there. I am. And it shortens it for you. Nice of them. But anyway, the comment guy said, nothing new. Twitter was doing short URLs automatically around 3 years ago and stopped. All of a sudden, for some reason, I don't know. Why? I don't know. He doesn't know either. But they're bringing it back. Wonderful! Well, I agree. If they weren't doing it, now they are, that's wonderful. But why did they stop? I mean, that's odd. But it's been an odd week. So I'll go with that. Next item. Google Chrome 12 is out, and I am reminded why I love Google Chrome. Yes. Google Chrome 12 comes with some new features that are really cool. But the thing that I liked about Google 12 was I'm using Google Chrome, and I'm reading about Google Chrome 12 and how it has all these new features, and I thought, ooh, I wonder what version I have. And I went and looked, as the picture shows on the blog there, and you know what version I had? I had version 12. Do you know why? Because it upgrades itself automatically in the background. It doesn't ask me stupid questions like, dude, do you want to upgrade? Now, let me think about this a minute. If I upgrade, I'll get the latest version. I'll have all the security patches, and I'll be safer than I was before. Why, no, I don't want to upgrade. Of course you want to upgrade. You always want to upgrade. And you always click the little, yes, I want to upgrade button. I mean, come on. So what does Google do? They just say, never mind, we'll just upgrade in the background. You won't even know. And they did, and I like it. Yay. So, good stuff. Way to go, Google. Somebody's doing something right. Anyway. Like I said, I'm in a mood. You'd be in a mood too. Anyway, next item. Help out the doctor, please, plus one our site. Please, 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 plus one my site. I'll gather myself. See, here's the thing. On Facebook, you have the little like. You can click the like when you like it. Okay. Well, Google has a plus one, which is like a like. Like a like. Anyway, so now you, me, I, us, anyone who has a website can embed the plus one click thing on your website. So what I did is I put a little picture, like this picture right here. See this picture? Right here? You see the red arrow thing there pointing to where the plus one is? There you go. That's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the website, find that in the header, and click on it. Now, obviously, you have to be logged into your Google account to do it. But don't we all have Google accounts? Don't we all have Gmail? Maybe. Anyway, so plus one me. All the various websites that I'm dealing with at the moment, I have plus one-ified. Yes. So plus one me and help me out. And you say, Dr. Bill, why do you care? Well, here's why I care. Because if you get plus one enough times and it keeps building up, then Google will assume, probably rightly so, that your website is good and valid. And they will kind of increase your level in the search ranks as being good and valid for the words that your site has in it, like Linux and open source and Microsoft and virtualization and cloud computing and all those things that you come to the doctor for. So if you plus one me, I will get raised up in the search engines and more people will watch the doctor and life will be good and the birds will sing. Ha ha! I like birds. Particularly pretty ones, as I've mentioned before. Bluebirds. They're cool. Anyway. Yes, that's the Geek Software of the Week. Bonking me in the back of the head again, telling me not to forget the Geek Software of the Week this week, which is TCP Optimizer from Speed Guide. Now, here's the thing. I was talking about bandwidth earlier and how it's a basic human right. Yeah. Anyway. If you have internet access, you should at least have really fast internet access, right? So this is what this software does. You don't even have to install it. It's just an executable. You run it, and you optimize your computer for internet connection. Cool! So it's good. It can be used by both novices and advanced users in tweaking related TCP IP parameters in the Windows registry, making it easy to tune your system to the type of internet connection you have. Now, for instance, I mentioned how I have 20 meg down and 1 meg, roughly 700 and some K up. And so this program optimizes my computer settings for that particular bandwidth cap. So how cool is that? This program rocks, and it's free, as most Geek Software of the Week is. It is free! So therefore, you should download it, you should run it, and you should have improved internet performance. Cool. Now, here's the other thing I wanted to mention this week. Like I said, this is a lot of stuff, so bear with me. The other thing I wanted to show you is a quick demo of Oracle VirtualBox. Now, earlier I was talking about Oracle when they took over Sun Microsystems and then they kind of dropped OpenOffice and how they were the, you know, corporate evil dudes. Well, okay. But they also have the VirtualBox open source project. And I gotta admit, I had never looked at VirtualBox. But I heard about it again. I'd heard about it before, but I heard about it again, and I'm like, yeah, I'll take a look at it. And, dude, I was impressed. It doesn't look clunky and junky like a lot of stuff that's free does. It really is nice. So check out this video, and I'll show you what I mean. All right, what we're going to look at right here is Oracle's VirtualBox hypervisor for Windows, and it is 100% absolutely free which is awesome in and of itself. And then also, I want to show you the Chrome OS, which I have here under VirtualBox. Now, the neat thing about VirtualBox, as you know, with most hypervisors, you can run other operating systems in a virtual environment on your current PC. In this case, I've got a Windows 7 PC that I'm running here. It's a laptop. And you can test out different operating systems without having to wipe your current operating system, which is a good thing because you might have stuff on your OS you need, like data, files, etc. So anyway, the cool thing about that I found with VirtualBox here when I played with it is, from my perspective, it's just as good and just as easy to use, maybe even easier to use, than VMware's Workstation, which is a purchased product. Okay, now I have a license for VMware Workstation because we have it at work and I have it there, and so I've used it before. But I had never used VirtualBox, just never had a need to since I had VMware Workstation. Now here we are looking at VirtualBox. I'm going to go over here to the Chrome OS. You notice it's powered off. It gives you all the various information about Chrome here. And so I'm going to go ahead and, guess what, start it up. You notice it starts up, tells us it's Oracle VirtualBox. Now the interesting thing about Chrome OS, I downloaded this off of Google. They have based Chrome on SUSE, OpenSUSE, which I found interesting. Now once you go in, you see their Chrome logo, and you see the little bar there as it's starting. But basically, they use the SUSE Studio, OpenSUSE Studio, to build the underlying Linux operating system for Chrome OS. Now this is ostensibly the Chrome OS that will launch with the Chromebooks that are coming out. Now, the way the Chromebook will work is it will automatically come into the browser. So I went ahead and launched the Chrome browser here. This is Chromium under, I went full screen. I shouldn't have gone full screen because I just blew it out of the screen there, but that's okay. I recovered. At any rate, you notice I have synced by bookmarks, which is a feature of Chrome. And here it is. I'm running under the Chrome OS through VirtualBox, and yet it syncs my Chrome preferences here, which is pretty cool if you ask me. Now if I go to the Dr. Bill site, you notice that the networking passes right on through as it should, and I'm having to kind of squeeze the screen here in order to fit it within the screen that you can see on your TV slash, you know, web browser, however you happen to be viewing the netcast. So you can, you know, scroll if you need to. But at any rate, pretty neat stuff. And, you know, go to Google, do your thing through the Google OS. Now, the actual OS here is pretty straightforward. Basically, you've got LibreOffice, you got your file manager, you got your Chrome browser, and that's about it. Now, of course, you could go to more applications, and there's a few things out here, I suppose. It's basically just, you know, Linux. LibreOffice is out there. This is the kind of default. Here's the GIMP, Picasa. You'd assume that they would have Google's stuff out there. But at any rate, it was interesting to see what they had done for the Chrome OS. Now, my assumption, I don't know if it's a valid assumption, but my assumption is this is going to be the same OS that you're going to find on a Chromebook. So, you know, interesting. Now, let me close out here. If I shut it down, choose that option, and it will shut down. Yes. And bring us back to our starting point here. So the other operating system that I was testing is one called Peppermint Ice. I'm going to bring it up into the viewable window here. I don't know how far it will expand out, but we'll see. Once it cranks up, yes, yes, I know. It keeps telling me that my mouse is going to be captured. That's okay. I'm good with that. Get past all these startup screens so that you can see. There we go. Now I can kind of adjust where it fits in the screen here. Now, this is more a full-blown version of Linux. So I'm going to go ahead and log in here. Peppermint Ice is the Peppermint Linux version of a Chrome-based, cloud-based operating system. So, and toward that end, they have Chromium, and if we go into the Chromium browser, you will see that it is providing us with all the Chromishness that we got from the Chrome operating system I was showing you earlier. And you notice again, all my preferences are here. I really love how Google Chrome synchronizes your bookmark bar and preferences and so forth, including even your installed software add-ons and so forth. It's pretty cool. But at any rate, this is Peppermint. And my purpose here is not really to show you all of the features of these different operating systems, but more to talk about how VirtualBox, now you saw I went from cold, you know, startup all the way through to the operating system being up and running and connected through the network, and that's pretty doggone cool. And then I can come down here and shut it down as I did the other one, and it will shut down the operating system and take us back to our main screen here. Pretty neat stuff. I highly recommend VirtualBox. Yes, I know it's got Oracle's name on it, bless their hearts, but it's still an open source project. It's still 100% free. Go for it. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Dude, how cool is that? So, neat little demo there. Wanted to show you that. The other thing I wanted to show you, see, again, there's a lot of stuff here. You gotta go with the flow, okay? The other thing is that I wanted to show you this headset. Okay, look at this headset. Let me hold it out here where you can see it really clear. See that? Look at that. Look at these little bandy things here on the side with the little curliness. Isn't that cool? And look at the microphone. See, look at that. It's got like a windscreen thing on it. And very comfortable headphonization going on there. Anyway, I wanted to mention this because a few netcasts back, I talked about the CAD Audio, C-A-D, CAD Audio microphone, which I actually have over here still, right there, with the pop filter here in the studio, and how awesome that microphone is. The USB mic. This is the CAD U2, U as in the letter U and the number 2, U2 USB headset. Plugs into your USB port. Again, no settings had to be tweaked on my Windows 7 laptop, and it just worked awesome. The ear pads here are very soft and comfortable, and the quality is excellent. So I wanted to share that with you because those of you that are looking for a headset, dude, this is a good one, okay? Now, you might say, well, Dr. Bill, that's all good, but what's up with CAD Audio? Well, apparently they get it. That's all I'm saying. So check it out. Go online, search for CAD Audio U2 headset. U the letter and 2 the number. Headset, like it says here. Search and you will find. That sounds very profound, doesn't it? Search and you will find. Yes. So, you seekers of truth, you. There you go. So, this has been the Wild Rant edition of Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon. Join us next time. And until then, remember that the doctor is out of here. And for those of you that are wondering, Tux is still here. I just forgot to put him on the shelf. Okay? Hi, Tux. Anyway, just wanted you to know I hadn't lost Tux. That would be bad. Good old Tux.